the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters. And the gospel today teaches us about both gratitude and ingratitude, and about God's love for us. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich poses the question, why does God seek men's thanks? Why did he seek from Noah, Moses, Abraham, and other holy forefathers that they offer him sacrifices of thanksgiving? Throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus gave many examples of how we must give thanks to God, as did the apostles, who commanded the faithful to give thanks to God in the book of Acts and in the epistles. Well, does God need our thanks for his benefit? No. As St. Nikolai says, our thanks will not make God greater, more powerful, or more glorious, or richer, or more alive. But God teaches us to give thanks for our benefit, just as a parent teaches their child the virtue of gratitude for the child's benefit, so that the child will grow up as a cultivated fruit tree and not as a wild thistle, so that it should go well with the child in this transitory life among men, among friends and enemies, in villages and towns, in authority and in commerce. A grateful man is everywhere valued, liked, invited, and assisted. He who learns gratitude learns mercy, and a merciful man walks more freely in this world. So the fact that these lepers, these ungrateful lepers, were Israelites is also significant. St. Cyril of Alexandria says that Israel was hard of heart and utterly unthankful, but the stranger, being a Samaritan, he was a foreign race, is not without meaning. It shows, therefore, that the Samaritans were grateful, but that the Jews, even when they were benefited, were ungrateful. And we've all heard the saying, count your blessings. And in today's world, we see a lot of dissatisfaction. People have much to be thankful for, and yet often forget the many blessings that they have received, and instead complain that they don't have enough. Now, when children act this way, many parents find that they need to correct this attitude so that they'll learn to value what they have. But this spirit of dissatisfaction is really a passion, and it's a temptation that the evil one uses us to lead us away from God and away from virtue. By stirring up the passions of envy and greed, where a person feels that they are not getting all that they deserve, the devil tries to make us forget about God and all his countless blessings. And the result is bitterness and misery and outrage against God and against the world. Many ads and commercials that we see today tell us that they convey this message that whatever we have, you know, it's not good enough. You know, our house is not good enough. It's not big enough. Our car is not good enough. Our clothes are not fashionable enough. And of course, the purpose of the ads is to get us to buy new and better ones, whether we need them or not. But these messages also try to make us believe that all of our happiness and fulfillment depend entirely upon achieving some elusive standard of wealth, of acquiring all the worldly and material things. But it's kind of like one of those mirages in the desert. You know, somebody's crossing the desert, and in the distance it looks like there's an oasis, and with palm trees and water and everything. But once the person arrives there, there's nothing there but dirt and sand. And so then they see another oasis that's a mirage, and they go up for that one. So that's kind of how the deceptions of this work. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich once pointed out that when one feeds their passions, that those passions are really never satisfied, but they only increase and make us want even more. He gives the example, if you had a fire, like let's say you're building a bonfire, and if you just keep throwing, you know, logs and flammable things up on the fire, the fire never sort of says, okay, that's enough now, don't add any more fuel. No, the fire just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's completely out of control and just raging away and destroys everything around us. And this is how it can be with the passions. The more we feed them and give ourselves to them, the greater is our hunger, the more we want, and you know, we never really find satisfaction. Well, the reason for this is it's because we're not just flesh. You know, we're not just living in a material world. We also have a soul and a spirit and a heart and a mind. And since our soul is not of this world, it can't really be fully satisfied with just material things. Remember when the Lord was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and he tried to get him, he'd been fasting for 40 days, and he tried to get him to turn the stones into bread to feed his hunger. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So in other words, food for the soul is the reading of scriptures and the lives of the saints and the writings of the holy fathers and prayer and fasting and good works, which help us acquire the true riches, which are the virtues that are far greater and lasting value than just merely corruptible things. Because, of course, we know that when we leave this life behind, the virtues are the only things that we get to take with us. Practicing the virtue of gratitude helps us keep things in their proper perspective, and it brings us closer to God, since a grateful heart recognizes that every good thing comes from God. Now, while we might not be as wealthy or famous as we'd like, I'm sure we can all think of people who are less fortunate than we are, who would be thrilled to have the things that we have. So let us cultivate this virtue of gratitude and imitate this leprous Samaritan who received healing from Christ. For although, as it says in the epistles, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, nevertheless, the Lord still invites us to partake of his life-giving body and blood in the divine liturgy. He restores us to spiritual health and gives us real peace and real joy. So let us give thanks for his mercy and providence towards us and for his great love for us all, so that we may be made worthy to enter his heavenly kingdom when we leave this worldly life behind. Glory be to our God.